Hi there, everyone. I'm Gwen Jones, and welcome once again to the I'm a Rotarian podcast, the weekly podcast where I introduce you to amazing people that proudly call themselves Rotarians. Well, this week we have a couple return guests, but they have different hats on. Nadine Pemberton and Brian Rush, two of our favorite guests, are back, but they're not here to talk about themselves. If you want to know about these two amazing folks, check out their podcasts. No, they're here to talk equity, inclusion, and diversity. Because both Brian and Nadine are members of the Rotary International Task Force that specializes in those three subjects. And they're joining me for a conversation about equity, diversity, and inclusion. So join us, won't you? Nadine and Brian, coming up right now on the I'm a Rotarian podcast. And as always, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. We have some return guests and we have a very awesome topic ahead of us. Do you guys remember a few months back, I talked race with a woman named Nadine Pemberton, and I talked just massive coolness with Brian Rush. And they decided to join me again, but this time they're taking off their personal journey and putting on their hats. They are both members of the Rotary International Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force. What is the Rotary International Task Force that I just screwed up on all the names that attached to it? We're going to find out today because we're going to talk about this task force and we're going to talk about why we need it. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things dealing with diversity and equality and inclusion in Rotary. Hi, buddies, pals of mine. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's awesome to see you both, too. I thank you so much for joining me. I know the last time we talked, you guys gave us your own story. Nadine, we talked about race, where I was joking before we went on today. I got my very first hate mail after that show saying that I was too light and jokey about race. So to whoever that person is, I hope you're enjoying this podcast. And the email is still the same. RotarianPod@gmail.com if you want to get upset with me about this show. And Brian, we talked to you about your amazing career and you still have that fabulous backdrop with just a few people behind it. Yeah, Brian still has the best backdrop of any Rotary interview I've ever had because everybody has like Obama and the Pope and the Dalai Lama on pictures in their back wall.
I mean, it's a thing, right?
It is a thing. I have my Rotary plaque. I'm pretty cool. And I have a plate from the World's Fair from 1962. So, I mean, you know, Nadine is joining us from the same tropical island she's been on for 3 months. So,
exactly. But I still do love Brian's backdrop. You know, anytime I'm in a meeting with him, I'm there we go. I absolutely love it. So,
Nadine, are you really still on a tropical island? Are you stuck there during COVID?
I'm still in St. Lucia and wouldn't quite say I'm stuck here anymore, but I am still here. I'll be heading back to the UK at some point in the summer, but I can't grumble. Been here since November. There are much worse places to spend your time, really.
I mean, Brian and I are on the West Coast, so our winters weren't that bad, but whoever's listening to us in like, I don't know, Michigan or North Dakota or whatever, are probably not really giving you a lot of tears for being stuck on an island. All right. So we're here to talk about this task force. Please jump in as much as you want, but let's start with some of the basic questions that were sent to us from listeners, which I thought was great. I put a call out to people about this task force. And the first one that came in almost immediately was, what is it? What is this task force?
I think that's a good question. That's a fair question for somebody to ask us. And Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. The task force is made up of Rotarians and Rotary family from right across the world. And one of the things that we're here to do is to put a plan together that really looks at the current state of diversity, equity, and inclusion within Rotary, and then, you know, sort of puts forward a vision that lets us think about and incorporate regional differences and different needs and priorities of Rotarians right over the world. And, you know, Rotary's been thinking more and doing more in the diversity, equity and inclusion space for a little while now. And part of, you know, helping Rotary to make these concrete plans to make sure that diversity, equity and inclusion is really in our fabric, and not just that we say this is what we do, but actually this is who we are. The task force was set up really with those aims in mind. So putting a plan together and, you know, moving the plan forward so that we achieve it.
I think to kind of piggyback, because that's the purpose. And the other key thing is really to assess where we are as an organization right now. You know, historically, there's a perception of what Rotary is, right or wrong. I mean, historically, it's right. It has tended to be all male, all white, all cisgender, heterosexual men, and of a certain economic status as well, right? And so really what we're looking at is what is the state of DEI and Rotary today, and how can we honor the diversity of our communities and really get Rotary more engaged with those communities, and how can we really help to sustain it for another 116, 20 years, whatever it is that we're at.
Yeah, exactly.
So who put it together? Is it this current president that put it together? I mean, where did, like, did you guys just get a phone call going, hi, Brian, hi, Nadine?
Well, you know, I think the board decided it was Holger, President Holger. It was something I think he wanted to do. And he put out a call to, I don't know how you got involved, Nadine, but I was, who reached out to me? I think my incoming director for Zone 2627, Vicki Pulitz, reached out to me and asked if she could submit me. And also my governor submitted me as well. But it was put together by Holger and the board was really, I think, my understanding of how it was formed. Was that you did have the same experience?
Yeah, that's mine too, Brian. And I think in Rotary in Britain and Ireland, the General Secretary, Amanda Watkins, contacted me and said, you know, this thing is about to happen and, you know, we want to nominate you. I'd spoken with Amanda about diversity, equity and inclusion issues, in Rotary in Britain and Ireland. So she put me forward, and I think I know a few other people did, some of the Rotaractors who are heavily involved in Rotaract Britain and Ireland mentioned it to me as well. And I recall an application form of some sort, having to fill in an actual application about it. So yeah, it wasn't just a case of, you know, we think you would be a good person for it. People applied for roles, people were nominated.
You guys had to go through a whole like vetting process. Your names were submitted. Was there an interview process? Did they, that kind of stuff? I mean, you mentioned that you filled out an application, so you had to be sponsored, for no better word, and then you had to have an application.
It's really interesting because I don't know about this. If I had the same experience everybody else had.
So wow. Okay.
I had an interview.
Tell us your experience, Brian.
I know. I was going to say, because I'm sweating and I'm not even on the task force.
I did have an interview. Director Valerie Wafer scheduled a phone meeting, and it was kind of interesting though. It was sort of like a mutual interview, I think, for me, because. And I'm sure Nadine's even busier than I am, so I'm sure it was the same thing. It's like, is this something that personally we want to devote our time to? Is it worth it? And for them, I think they were trying to gauge if we would bring something different to the task force. And you know, they've done a really great job of trying to involve people regionally. So every region of the Rotary world is really represented on the task force, which I think is fantastic. Whether if it's not with people that are Rotarians or Rotaractors or previous Peace Fellows, it's you know, directors, trustees, staff, you know, from, I know, like, we didn't have anybody from Africa at first, and then Trustee Gita Manek joined the task force, and then past District Governor Sung Yi from South Korea joined us, because we also didn't have a ton of representation from Asia. But it really was their focus that, like, is everybody bringing something a little bit different to the task force, different life experiences? And I know for me, it was really the thing that was really sealed the deal for me was in my conversation with Valerie. She said that it was time for us to stop just sort of, when we have these conversations around DEI and we see something that might be offensive or offensive to somebody, or maybe not uphold the values of diversity that Rotary has, that rather than pulling somebody aside and kind of whispering something, we need to start addressing that directly and openly and let everybody know that this is not acceptable. And that, when she told me that, that was the thing for me that sold it. I was like, if that's the attitude that you have and how we're going to move forward with this, I'm 100% on board.
And let me put a pin on that because we're going to talk about more of that where your task force has been put to work pretty quickly. How many people are on this task force?
Oh gosh, I feel like I need to.
If you need to use fingers there. And toes,
I'm not very good at math. I do know, so I can probably do the names. So we've got Valerie Wafer, who's the chair of the task force. That's one. We've got Jan Lucas Kett, who's the vice chair. Jan Lucas is a Rotary International director in the Netherlands. You know, Valerie's from Canada. As Brian said, we've got Gita Manek, Rotary Foundation trustee from Kenya. Katie Halliday, Rotaractor and Rotarian from Australia. We've got Rukmini Aya, who is a Peace Fellow alumnus. We've got Todd, Dr. Bowtie, America. Myself, Brian. I feel like I've missed
Ugo, District Governor from Italy. Sung Yi, who's a past District Governor from South Korea.
Is that 10?
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, there's I know that we have Caio Cruz, who is a staff member for Rotary, but he represents Brazil. And there's a lot of staff members from
kind of peripheral people on the edge.
PDS and different areas of Rotary that are also represented.
So what does when people thought first had misnomers about this task force, you know, diversity, you know, equity, inclusion. The first thing that came to mind from some of my asking of questions was that it's all about LGBTQ and people of color. Is that true? Is it just those two groups, or is it disabled folks? Is it, you know, so what is the diversity that you're going for?
Yeah.
So this task force represent it?
So the first thing I would say is absolutely not. It's not just about LGBTQ plus people or issues or rights, and it's not just about race. In fact, in that conversation, I will loop back to it because I think it's important. In that conversation I had with Valerie, you know, I do a lot of things around race. And one of the questions that Valerie asked me was my focus around diversity, equity and inclusion just about race? And actually, no, it's not. You know, I'm a trustee and an LGBTQ plus focused charity. I care about rights for disabled people. You know, it's not just about LGBTQ plus race. We look at a range of inclusion issues that we are dealing with within Rotary across the world. And I think one of the things I really appreciate about the members on the task force is that everybody has a wide eye. So it's not just about a specific area for one person. We're all able to look sort of far ranging in terms of inclusion. And that's one of the things that attracted me to the task force.
Okay.
I would add that, you know, for me, as much as I obviously I'm a, you know, big gay Brian and I'm high profile in that sort of space. The reason that I was actually added was because much of the work that I was focused on was an intergenerational conversation. So really, you know, we all are constantly talking about how we need younger people in Rotary, but I also wanted to make sure that we weren't sidelining our more seasoned Rotarians, you know, people mm-hmm. who've been around for a much longer time, and really how we could start developing the conversations between those two groups of people. And for me, the other real key area of focus is socioeconomic, and how, you know, Rotary historically has tended to be for a certain socioeconomic status, class, and mm-hmm. how are we really able to address that? Because, you know, there's Rotarian, there's people around the world who would make amazing Rotarians, but financially they're just not able to participate on the level that that some of us are. And so really, how are we removing those obstacles to really engage those people and involve those people and make Rotary as inclusive as we can be?
So well, important. And that's great. And I think that's the part of the inclusion that I think gets swamped by this misnomer, like I said, that it's all about race and it's all about sexual orientation. That's why this task force was put together. Those are the only two reasons. And I find that sad that we're so narrow-minded in thinking when you have classism issues. You have in Brazil, I know when we talked with Gus Lopez, one of the things that offended him the most was when a speaker talked about that a garbage man can't be as great a Rotarian as a doctor. You know, that there's this classism, or I know I have a little bit more of a voluptuous curve to me. There is weight issues. There are people that are blind. There are people that are deaf. There are people that are in wheelchairs. There are people, mental illness, I think is really interesting. And what you're trying to, this task force is saying, all are welcome. All need to be understood. All need to be thought of as equal.
Well, yeah. And you know, to me, I think sometimes the reasons why people think that they're just to focus on particular areas is because they're not actually listening to what the focus is. I've got to be honest with you, because when Rotary put out its diversity, equity, and inclusion statement, and I can't remember when that was, that's probably a cross against my name. I'm in the task force. I should know.
During the summer of like the George Floyd kind of in that time, it all kind of like right, melded so together. That was last year.
Yeah. But even if people had only ever seen the statement, the diversity, equity, inclusion statement, and only ever read that statement in terms of what was Rotary doing or going to do about diversity, equity, inclusion. Well, in the statement, it talks about, you know, valuing diversity and celebrating the contributions of people of all backgrounds. It talks about, you know, regardless of age or ethnicity or race, it talks about religion and abilities and culture, you know, gender identity, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was setting out the stall at a particular time about what Rotary really wanted to do. So I think it's really important that people do look at what Rotary has said it's going to do and look at that with a wide lens and not just keep a narrow focus on that. I can say from my experience, I think Rotary is getting better at a wider focus, and this task force is, you know, is a huge part of that.
Yeah, we've got a task force now as opposed to going to the Supreme Court. I mean, our reputation, we're usually not this fast. Yeah, we're usually not this fast. All right. So we did have, like I said, we did have some questions that came in. And so, Brian, I'm going to let Nadine off the hook unless she wants to include herself on this, please. I had a very nice 80-plus-year-old Rotarian that wanted to talk to me about non-binary words and why they are a part of the LGBTQ landscape. We have a fellowship who had an LGBTQ fellowship that's based overseas that put out some fabulous graphics and memes. And one of them was about non-binary words, the his and hers tuning into they and them. And he was lost. He said he had no problem with the LGBTQ community in Rotary, but he doesn't understand these words and why do they need them? Go.
Well, I would like to create space for Nadine to jump in. I'm kidding.
Yes, and Nadine, go.
I think that conversations like this, you know, are difficult whenever it's not your space, right? Like if it's not something, and I'm, you know, I subscribe to, I'm cisgender male and I'm part of that binary. But I think that what the non-binary really speaks to is that they're not everybody fits into this male or female category, right? And that's just a feeling. And that is a whole host of spaces of individuals. And this isn't something new. This isn't something that we've just started talking about in the last 5 or 10 years. This is something that throughout centuries has existed, you know, and in Pacific Islands, they have the Mahu. They, a lot of Native American cultures have had people of various genders.
I think it's Indonesia that actually has a whole other sex. Is that true? And somebody can write me if that's true, but there's...
I'm not sure if that's true.
Is that okay?
I'm not going to weigh in on that.
I was going to say, rotarianpod@gmail.com, or you can find...
And it's also, you know, most transgender people do not identify as non-binary. They feel that they are the opposite gender. And so right.
I feel this way.
Exactly. And I think that's the first piece of this. I think that as far as pronouns, first of all, I encourage all of us and anybody listening to just go ahead and when you're in these conversations, include your pronouns in your emails, on your Zoom profiles, whatever that is, so that the people don't have to ask. Because first of all, it's embarrassing for me personally if I misgender somebody, and I don't want to do that. And I would, you know, not want to do that to somebody. I would like to provide that space. You know, when I put my pronouns up for somebody, it's really sort of inviting that conversation about why do you do this. Now, as far as changing somebody's pronouns and wanting to use, whether it's they, their, them, or if somebody's trans and has transitioned and wants to use the opposite pronouns, that's something that shouldn't be difficult for you to do, right? I mean, we gender cars, we gender boats, we gender all sorts
that's
of...
That's true. You know, that's a really valid point.
We have absolutely no problem calling, you know, I call my car her and so
ships are usually female.
Exactly. Like, I mean, but that's not, they're not. Right. And so we have no, but we are able to do that without any problem. So it shouldn't be a problem to use the pronouns that people choose for themselves to use. And so that, while I appreciate the question and wanting to learn how to do that, it really isn't a difficult thing. If somebody's like, these are my pronouns, then use those pronouns.
That's right. I absolutely agree, Brian. I mean, I think so. One of the things that I, you know, take cues from the task force, and it's great to watch what people do. And one of the things that we do routinely on calls on the task force, which take place by, you know, this same platform because we're at Zoom, because we're all over the world, you know, people will routinely, and not everybody, but many people will routinely put their pronouns on there, you know, rename their name on Zoom so that, you know, the pronouns are there. And I spoke at a Rotary Club about DEI a couple of months back. And one of the things that I said is, you know, a way to lean into inclusion can be for people, if they're comfortable to do so, to put their pronouns up. And that also signals to somebody else that, you know, places might be safe for them to do so, or that that's a conversation that people are having. So I think, you know, and I agree with what Brian says. if Brian, you know, tells me that he identifies and his pronoun is she, then okay, thanks for telling me, and that's what I use. It's not for me to debate that or to, you know, decide or choose not to,
or even agree with it. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, at the end of the day, you don't have to understand it. You just have to respect it. You have to respect other people, right? Like, there's a lot of things about many people that I don't understand, but if that's who they are, then I need to do my best to respect that. And I think that that's really the key part of all this with everything, whether it's gender or, you know, I don't understand the racial experiences, experiences around race that Nadine has gone through in Rotary. But I can respect that when she's telling me that those are very valid experiences. And so I'm going to honor that for her. And so that's really, I think, when we're having this conversation around gender or this non-binary, and again, they're not all the same thing. Really,
yeah. So you're saying because you even did your little, I know this is great for audio, but you did this little hand gesture.
I talk a lot with my hands, and you're all missing that. So
non-binary is one thing, and that's non-binary is using those different pronouns, correct? Like, well, non-binary is
really that you personally don't feel that you fit into one of two. Binary is bi is two, right? So it's like one or the other. So you don't feel that you fit into one of those two categories that have been created by our current society and that you exist in this other place where, and gotcha. So like when we were talking about, for example, if I have a member in my club who works with the transgender community in India, and they consider themselves women. They do not consider themselves non-binary. They consider themselves female.
Female. Yeah.
And so that's why it doesn't necessarily equate, it's a difficult thing to understand. And so really, I think at the end of the day, what we do is if we don't know, if I meet you, Gwen, and I don't know what your pronouns are, the best thing that I can do is just ask, what pronouns would you like me to use?
So to this gentleman who admits that he's 80 something, I don't know if that's something that's going to be easy for him. I don't know if he would simply go up and say, in his case, I could probably hear him say, but you go by Brian, right? So I can just go Brian all the time and just use your name. I mean, it's because we don't want these people to feel that they can't talk to, you guys about inclusion. I mean, we don't want to, if people are reaching out to find out more about race, to find out more about the rights of somebody who's blind or in a wheelchair or the LGBTQ. We don't want these people who are from good faith stepping out to ask you guys questions to be an ally to be shot down. And I have seen that before, that somebody will go, excuse me, I go by them. And they'll say it in such a way that person who would have been an ally is now feeling embarrassed. So how can the task force help with that type of thing? If somebody wants to go up to Nadine and say, I honestly don't know what life has done to make it so it's harder for you because the color of your skin. We want those people to have that conversation, do we not? And is that what the task force is about? And if we're snippy or cutting them down, are we taking away that ally? I don't know if that's even a question, more of a, because I've got you both looking, going, and your point of the question is.
Well, no, I think that where I'm kind of, I've
seen people get snapped down if they use the wrong pronoun. I've seen people get snapped down if they honestly reach out and say, but that guy was a really great athlete.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say something. And first of all, I want to preface everything on this conversation with this. While you said that we're representing the task force today, we're still representing our opinions. And
oh, absolutely.
Members of the task force. But just because you may be non-binary or you may not use he, him, she, her pronouns, doesn't mean you can't still be an asshole. And Sometimes that's the case. And I think and sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it really is just frustration of like having to constantly explain yourself. But my experience has been, and maybe other people's experiences differ, that an overwhelmingly amount of the time, if you are taking the time to ask a question and to learn more, people are responsive to share that with you. Now, I think that, part of the goal, I think, for the task force is really how can we encourage clubs and districts to really start having these conversations amongst themselves and do that, because, you know, Nadine and I can't be the only people that talk about this stuff. The other members of the task force can't be the only ones talking about this stuff. We really have to inspire other people within Rotary to initiate these conversations. And also I think that, you know, I think in many cases, whether it's LGBTQ or race or whatever the issue is, sometimes people just are tired and they don't want to always have to be explaining everything. But in this kind of space, you know, we're here to talk about that. So
I was going to say that is kind of the task force you joined.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not saying for us personally, but I think that, like, if somebody's snippy, which I can see maybe occasionally that would happen, but I think most of the time people are overwhelmingly positive if you're coming from a place where you really are trying to learn. Now, if you're the other side of that is that sometimes people are saying it like, well, why do I have to start doing this? Because, you know, well, then you're going to get a different reaction from people because you're not approaching it in this way of like, I sincerely want to learn and understand. You're just like annoyed that you have to even think about this. And that's a different approach towards that, I think.
So I have another question that I think is so going to change topic just a little bit, that we are a world organization. You are a worldwide task force. And we're talking with a whole bunch of different countries, a whole bunch of religious views, a whole bunch of governmental views, a whole bunch of, you know, and you have this task force that's talking about inclusion. How do you work with all these different Rotary clubs that have perhaps religious and or laws that may not stop diversity, but maybe could have some inclusion issues, have some, how's the task force going to work with something like that? I've left you speechless again.
Never. Where I would say that Brian and I are probably very rarely going to get speechless.
I mean, we do have some interesting problems in that department.
Well, you know, we've got some probably interesting challenges and opportunities. I think one of the things that we do talk about on the task force is, you know, we talk about regionalization. So how do things work in particular regions? And of course, we, you know, we try to balance that with the fact that we are a global organization. You know, it's not easy. Even in things such as the recent survey that went out to some Rotarians, we had to really consider good. We had to really consider, you know, how do we ask questions that are region appropriate while still being able to gather the data that we want on a global basis? And is it an easy task? I don't think it is. But is it something that the task force is live to? Absolutely. Is it something that we consider in all the different groups that we work in as part of the task force? Yes, it is. Do we have all the answers? Well, no, of course we don't have all the answers. Right. But are we working to, you know, are we working towards what does this mean for X country? Mm-hmm. And being, you know, sensitive to the environment in the countries, while still, because we're trying to move forward here, while still being committed to the aims of, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so, yeah, it's a balance. And it's not necessarily an easy balance. But and I think sometimes, you know, for me as an individual Rotarian, this is not me as, I'm not talking about myself on task force here, but as an individual Rotarian, you know, I have questions around, you know, what role does Rotary play in, you know, we have countries where some laws do not make for diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know?
Right.
And I know that's a question that people have asked me. So that, you know, actually I feel I can say that question. Well, what role does Rotary play in that, you know,
I mean, we do have this seat at the UN. We do have, I mean, what can we do? Because we're not a political organization, but can inclusion be a political thing?
See, I mean, first of all, I disagree with that 100%. We are a very political organization.
Okay. All right.
I think that we love to say we're a non-political organization. However, we are very political. We first of all, we have elections for different, you know, positions within the thing. There's all these, you know, that's the first part. But we also get involved in a lot. We do have a seat at the UN. That is a political thing. We're supposed to be nonpartisan, I think, is really...
And do you think those words get kind of mishmashed together?
I think they do, because I think, you know, we are definitely, and the other piece that I think is important to all this, though, is that DEI is not a political topic. This is a human issue, right? It's like, how are we addressing humanity? What are we doing to benefit the world? And it's one of our... diversity is ingrained in Rotary, right? And mm-hmm. so this is not a political thing. It is something that different regions are, you know, North America, I'm assuming somewhat in the UK, but we've made DEI a political issue, but it's not a political issue. It's really about what are we doing for humanity? And Rotary, you know, I mean, you know, I look at, we had this conversation the last time I was on about how I opened up to members in Cuba. And this was, you know, the reason that Rotary pulled out of Cuba was a political decision. You know, we don't have Rotary clubs in certain regions of the world, and that's a political thing. It's, but as far as trying to like open up and open these doors so that we can be as inclusive as possible to as many people as possible, that is not a political thing. That is just, what are we doing for the best of this organization, and how are we going to thrive as an organization?
Yeah, I agree. It's really interesting that, you know, the use of the political word, and I think, you know, it has been used in the past as a way not to, I wouldn't say not to tackle issues, but to not see issues, you know, to be able to just put the blinkers on. I haven't seen that. It's political, so we don't have to think about that. We can just carry on, you know, being good humanitarians and going out to places and, you know, trying to help without seeing some issues. I one of the things that I thought was great this year, you know, was President Holger saying, you know, we don't think these issues are political. They are not. And I think it's really important to say that. And so, you know, Rotary has a huge part in changing the world. And so, you know, as Brian says, diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's part of our fabric. So that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have a real responsibility around this. And I think one of the great things about having the task force, about actually highlighting diversity, equity, and inclusion, has been there are lots of things that are coming out of the woodwork where, you know, certainly I've thought we might need to work on, and people are telling us their stories. People are sharing their experiences. Yeah, that's what we want. So that we can keep doing better and being better and not hiding behind any statements anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Going back to disabled folks, which is part of the inclusion.
You're like, why not? Yeah.
I'm like, I'm waiting for more hate mail to come in because we talked about before we went on. Fine, I'll put a pin in my own question there, because I did have somebody that asked, can you still be a racist and still be a Rotarian?
You know, this
is great for audio because you guys are like covering your eyes. So can you call somebody the N-word and the F-word in the privacy of your own home? But when you're all together at Rotary, can you sing Kumbaya and work for a greater good and pick up garbage on the side of the road and stop polio?
Well, I think you're asking if that's possible. Yes, it is absolutely possible.
And okay. It happens.
And it happens. Okay.
Should you? No.
Absolutely agree with you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us today.
That's done. You know, it's not, you know what? It's so interesting to me because, you know, is the person saying, I'm a Rotarian and I want to keep being racist? Or, you know, I don't understand. don't even understand what that question is about. We talk a lot. We've got this idea in Rotary, you know, so that we're, you know, good people, and we go about doing these good things. And we do some really good work. But sometimes, you know, the behaviours and attitudes of some Rotarians is not what I would really call Rotary, not for me, what Rotary stands for, what it should stand for. Mm-hmm. So I think if people are asking those questions, I would really like them to ask themselves, what does not can you, you know, be a racist and still be a Rotarian, but what does Rotary actually mean for them? What are they doing here? What's the purpose of this for them? What do they want to achieve and why? Because, you know,
I'm not quite sure how it's fair to all concerns or builds goodwill and better friendships, but
you know, I mean, I'm not a four-way test police, but you know, look at yourself internally and really think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that question and why you're asking it.
Yeah,
and really reflect on that, because.
It was interesting to get these questions. Yeah,
I mean, it was great that people have asked.
You know, I mean,
that people are asking.
But yeah,
The question might have come also from a space where there's somebody in their club who they perceive to be very racist. And okay. So they're trying to figure out the, you know, I mean, and I think that, you know, one of the things about inclusion that we really have to consider, especially in North America, you know, we've gone through this period of time that is been much more stressful for many people than we've been used to. And now that I think that in our clubs, part of inclusion is still opening the conversation more. I have to, if you are of a different political persuasion than I am, and maybe you supported the former president, I still have to figure out how I can exist in a world that you exist in, and you have to do the same with me. And so I don't have to agree with you on everything, you know, you know, you might believe because of your faith that, that marriage is one thing that's different than what I believe.
Right.
I have to still understand that that's the way that you believe. Now, what this is really about is that we can't be putting our beliefs onto other people in a way that can then not give them the same opportunities that we have. Right. So I think that having a conversation and opening that space for that is really the best way to start bridging this divide between a lot of us, because it really it's much harder to dislike or demonize somebody when you know them, right? And so I think that, like, having this conversation, having an understanding for the different experiences, you know, we had on the task force, Nadine and I were on a subcommittee, and we started listening to the experiences of past peace fellows. And what many of them have gone through, and also we did it with Rotaractors and a couple other affinity groups, and it really was the Rotary that they experienced is much different than the Rotary that the three of us have been experiencing. And so how do we create a space to listen to those stories and have that and include their voices as we move forward for a better organization?
I agree with you, Brian. And Greg, one of the things I'd say as well, you know, so again, bring it back to the task force. If the task force means that people are talking more, and they are, about diversity, equity, and inclusion, they're talking more about these issues within their own clubs or within their district or within their zone, then I think that's a really positive thing. I you know, there are clubs that are reaching out to members of the task force to say, please, can you come and talk to us? Right. About diversity, equity, and inclusion. Or, you know, I know I'm not as far on in, you know, for example, a district governor, I'm not as far on in my thinking as I'd like to be for my district, but I really would like you to come and talk to the district about the task force or what's going on. And, you know, I know there are people in my district who don't think that the task force should exist. I want you to come and talk to my district about the task force, you know, and about what Rotary is doing and about how we can all, you know, do better and be better. And I think that's just such a positive thing that people all around the world are having conversations. And perhaps that they might not have had before. And some of those conversations might be challenging, and that's okay too. Nobody said this was all, what did you say earlier, singing Kumbaya around the campfire? Nobody said it was going to be all that, you know? But it's the opening up of these opportunities and having these questions, having these conversations.
We're having the conversations. We're having the questions. Is this task force going to actually produce something? I mean, is there an end goal, like materials or something that can be distributed to Rotary clubs? What is the goal of the task force? Is it just conversation, or is it actually putting together a program that'll trickle down and help all of us?
So
either one can go.
There is doing happening as well.
Okay.
Which is really positive. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the survey. Obviously, that will be looked at, because part of this is about garnering information on where we are now. Yeah. So
kind of your first step is to get all the information of what people think, kind of, in a way.
Yeah. But we're also, we have an action plan that includes us looking at and evaluating, you know, the policies within Rotary, our structure, looking at how we can help clubs to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion in their membership. I guess one thing that we haven't said is about the different groups that we have, the working groups that we have, which might give you sort of some understanding. I'll probably get this wrong. I'm not on all of them. So, Brian, please correct me. So we have a working group that looks at policy. So, you know, Rotary's policies and what they mean for diversity, equity, and inclusion. We have a working group that is learning and resources. What learning and resources do we already have? And Rotary does have learning and resources out there around diversity, equity, and inclusion. Not bad anybody, because you might not have seen it. People may not realize. And so part of the job is also, where there is information, where there is guidance, helping people to know where that is, helping people to find that. And where there isn't, there's, you know, work around, well, what is it that people need? What are Rotarians asking us for that will help them with diversity, equity, inclusion? Mm-hmm. That's two of the work groups. Brian.
Culture.
Thank you.
Which really is looking at Rotary regionally and also globally, and the culture. And currently, it's so funny because I'm on two of them, and sometimes they overlap quite a bit. So I get mixed up on what we're doing on each one until I'm actually in the meeting. But we're really looking at a code of conduct for what it means to incorporate the diversity, equity, inclusion statement that's put forth by Rotary into our clubs. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that it's interesting, because I know you had Gus Lopez on, and after that incident in Brazil, it really opened up the door for a conversation around what needs to be done immediately, right? And mm-hmm. and one of the things that became very clear was that there was not an easy way, when issues come up, for the average person to report these issues, right? And sometimes the hierarchy is such that when you report an issue, it goes to the person you're reporting it about. So how do we resolve that? Well, so that's one thing that we've looked at, is how to make that process simpler and more streamlined on the website, and that'll go to a party that's outside of the one concerned. And the other piece is really training for, you know, and I know Nadine and I are both very passionate about this, but it's that we kind of look at the senior leadership and the board and these things. I'm giving quote marks and you can't see that, but they're kind of like this end all be all answer to this. And one of the questions that came up is, well, what training are they getting? Ooh. How are we, you know, they're making these decisions on how we're moving this forward, but what are they getting? What information are they getting to be able to guide this conversation? And so one of the things that Holger committed to was that there's training, not just for current, because currently they do get some training, the directors, and that mm-hmm. will expand to the trustees, to officers, which includes district governors, but also it's going to expand to past directors and past trustees and people that want to represent Rotary on the global stage after they've sort of done their main primary service as senior leadership, but that, you know, they still command quite a bit of respect and authority within the Rotary world. And so really, how are we making sure that when people are going around speaking to what Rotary is, that they're representing what Rotary is and not their personal opinions? And I think that because it's, you know, I give my personal opinion all the time, probably more than I should. But
but it depends on what hat you're wearing that day.
But I I'm very clear that this is my personal opinion. Right. You know, and so if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman because that's what your faith has told you, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But make sure that when you are telling people that that's what you believe, that you are representing yourself and not Rotary as an organization, because that is not where Rotary is as an organization. And I think there's
space for that. I mean, I've had a guest here who on the show who is a great guy. He makes all these memes. He's a great PI kind of guy, but he calls himself a man of faith. And so I kind of nailed him down on that. And I said, I assume that means that you are evangelical Christian. And he said, yes. And I said, does that ever get in the way of you being open and receptive to all of your Rotary family? He goes, no. I mean, and it was just as easy as that. It was like, no, I have this belief system, but I also know that my Rotarian brothers and sisters are here for this greater good, which is different than my personal belief. So I think we can find that somewhere.
Well, and it's interesting because I think that we also have to start really applying, you know, having some compassion for the experiences of other people, right? So I think that one of the things that came up, there's a club in, I think it's in the Middle East someplace. I want to say it's in the Emirates, that there's, you know, men and women have separate clubs. And you know, many women here are outraged about this. Like, why do you have separate clubs? This is horrible.
We had to go all the way to the Supreme Court, darn
and
it.
And the reality is that they have separate clubs because the women want separate clubs.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and so it's really like we, you know, while we're looking at this and we're especially through the culture lens, we do have to look at this, that there are different belief systems, different cultural experiences that we have around the world. And as a global organization, you know, we're in one place in North America or in Europe that in Japan and South Korea, they're looking at DEI through a completely different lens. In India, they're very much, it's about caste systems and that aspect of it. You know, I mean, there's different priorities for different regions of the world. And so it really is, how are we as, and that's sort of what we've been tasked with, is how do we as an org, as a task force, look at that and encompass the broad width. Now, hiring PwC to do this.
Okay, survey. Tell everybody what PwC is.
PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Thank you.
I always mix up like PricewaterhouseCoopers. Is it PCW or PwC? It's PwC, right?
It's PwC. Yeah.
PwC, definitely.
My brain just went. If I think about it too much, then I lose it. I think it's been a great first step. And I think it's also been great to actually have some external organization that's looking at us, because it's, you know, That is part of how we can grow, is to be able to identify where we need to grow.
Well, I know we're getting, I know you guys are like, this is a lot of your time. So I thank you so much again for coming back to the podcast again and talking about this task force. I do appreciate it. I would like to know, though, for your last question, is diversity, is inclusion, is it a big problem in Rotary? Are we not as a big tent as we thought we were? In your personal opinion, not as a task force.
I think it varies a lot for, and I think that that's the problem. I think that it's interesting because, you know, my club is a very diverse club. There's my youngest member is 22, my oldest member is 72.
I popped into your club.
Yeah.
It's all over the world, literally.
Members from 18 countries right now. Yeah. And so for my club members, it's probably less of an issue than it is for, I know Nadine and I have a mutual friend in the UK who's been having a really hard time finding a club where she connects, because as a Black woman going to a bunch of clubs full of white men, it's really not there. It's a problem for her. Right. And so that's what we need to start addressing is because how are we, you know, if you look at the big tent, yes, we're very diverse. We're all over the world, but how are we really incorporating that into down to the district level, down to the club level? You know, I live in San Francisco, which most people would be considered, you know, super diverse and
the cesspool of diversity.
Yeah. But, you know, we've only had two people of color that have been district governors ever, at both Asian and both in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So I think when you look at that way, yes. And when you look at, okay, it's amazing that we have Jennifer Jones coming in as the first female president of Rotary International. But when you look at all the men that have been president, we've had one Black man who has been the president of Rotary International. So we definitely have, we have some growth.
We could look under the tent a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's work to do. And, you know, and I agree with what Brian says. It depends. A lot of it depends where you are. And we need to get better at it not depending where you are. We need to, you know, to have an organization that, and of course, you know, we recognize the regional differences, but we need to have an organization where people feel included and where people are included. And I think there's work to do, but I think we're doing it.
Mm.
And I think that
is that the wildest bird behind you? Is that what we're hearing?
It's like a song.
It's a neighbor's gate.
Oh, it's the neighbor's gate.
The neighbor's gate. Yeah.
I think that, you know, one of the key things about this, though, and I tell this when I speak to clubs or districts or anywhere, is it's a membership issue, right?
Okay.
Like we all not all of us, but like I sit through President's Council meetings and conversations with other presidents and governors, and they're like, how do we expand our membership? How do we expand our membership? Well, that's what DEI does, is it expands our membership. Okay. And those clubs who are taking this seriously are going to be the clubs that thrive. And the ones who are resistant to this or not open to this at all aren't going to be around for a long time. And that's, you know, I don't care if you're a 80-year-old club, if you're not going to evolve in this way, you will not be around forever.
Well, that's a fabulously positive note to leave us on. But it is a really, I mean, the old Darwin saying, adapt or die. And I appreciate you guys for doing the conversation and being on this task force. I mean, I will follow it. I look forward to finding out what becomes of it. But I think it's because it's not going to end, obviously, with after this particular presidency, where it's a continuous task force, if I'm correct. Right. It'll just keep going. So,
yeah, I think both of us did. I'm assuming Nadine did. signed on for, I know that Jennifer's committed it through the end of her year. So, right. So Shaker re-invited us to join.
I was like, Shaker,
for this coming year. And so I think that we're committed to two more years after this year.
Well, thank you guys for your service in advance. And, you know, I challenge our listening audience to maybe take a look in the mirror and really ask your club, how much is your club working to be diverse, working to be, you know, inclusive, working to work with a equality for everyone involved. And as always, my two dear friends, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast and giving me some time. And Nadine, you should have said it was some tropical bird instead of your neighbor's gate. Brian and I were hoping for some macaw type thing, but no, that's
come
okay.
On now. Is it the truth? You know?
Is it the truth?
Gwen, thank you so much for inviting us again. I think it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you guys. And I'm sure I will be seeing you up on the interwebs, as my friends from Canada say, very soon, because you guys seem to be out there talking about a lot of stuff. So thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, my friends. It was so wonderful to have you back on. And clubs, I really do ask you to look in the mirror. How diverse are you? How inclusive are you? Are you giving equity and inclusion and fairness to everybody, everybody in their club? Something to think about, don't you think? Thank you, Nadine and Brian, for joining me again. And of course, thank you for joining me every week. If you like the podcast, please tell a friend, download and subscribe. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. And hey, if you want to hear the other side of me, my musical side, check me out every Wednesday night on Rotary Radio UK. That's right, Rotary Radio UK. I have myself a radio show. It's called Greetings from America, and I'd love you to join me. Until next week, take care of yourself and the world around you, and I'll hear you next time on the I'm a Rotarian podcast. Have a wonderful week, everybody.